News 10 anchorman John Gray is an Emmy award-winning journalist and writer. When John's puppy Samuel died unexpectedly at just 6 months old, it brought a profound sadness to their home and a sense that this was really just not fair. So for the first time, John understood how a kid must feel when they lose a pet of any age, asking themselves why. Hoping to turn that pain into something positive, he put pen to paper and wrote a story to help kids who have lost a pet. His new book is called God Needed a Puppy, guiding children through the grieving process by using animals from the forest to explain the reasons why a beloved pet sometimes has to leave us. And it is a pleasure to welcome John Gray to the region. How are you? Or to the round table. You've been in the region for a long time.
Yes, I've been here so many years. Yes, I was born here. So thank you for having me on the show.
Very nice to have you on the program. So this, I gave a sketch here, but at what point did you think, how long was it into the grieving process that you thought you wanted to write something?
You know, I'm a writer anyway, because in addition to the TV work, I write for the local newspapers and some regional magazines.
Right.
So for me, writing's always been like therapy. Like, I always found when I was younger, let's say I was mad at a friend, I would sit down and write this letter, this scathing letter. I'm going to tell him everything. And by the time I got done, I didn't want to send it, but I felt better about getting it out of my system.
Yeah.
And I guess I felt that way about this. I didn't know what to do with the grief, because I'd lost pets before, but I couldn't get past it. It was probably 3 weeks into it. I'm like, come on! I had another puppy, another dog. It was older. This dog we lost was a baby. But I'm like, what is with me that I can't shake this? And then I said, well, I'll try to write about it. And people ask me how long it took to write the book. I say it took 5 days. The first draft was on a Sunday night. And that was all about me and what I was feeling. And then Monday, a little less of me in the story. And by Thursday, the last draft, I was completely out of the story. And it was about these forest animals talking to each other about a little boy who lost his dog and why things happen.
What happened to your dog?
We don't know. He was 6 months old. He went out to play like he did every morning. He would always go in his crate for a nap, and he never woke up. The best guess is that he had some kind of undetected heart issue. I didn't want to do an autopsy to cut him open
but
6 months old. The vet said, you know, and after it happened, it was a German Shepherd. I looked up a lot of it because I had people reaching out to me. And there is a condition between 6 and 9 months. It's that window with German Shepherds where this sometimes happens. It's very rare, but it does happen.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. I was thinking about this and even reading the book, that you wonder. I don't know if it makes the grief. I had a 6-year-old dog who was very young and healthy, and same thing, went into the crate and didn't come out the next morning.
Right.
And well, you know, you, as you say, you don't want to do an autopsy, and you don't want that. But by the same token, maybe it helps with the grieving if you know what happened. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't have brought him back. That's where I was,
sure.
was at with it.
Right.
You know, I knew it was nothing we did. He was in an enclosed yard. You know, the vet inspect. You know, she looked at him top to bottom as much as she could without cutting him open, and she said, you know, there's no visible sign of anything. So, you know, it all leads to probably a heart issue.
So why did you think it was important to tell the story to kids, to let kids know what was going on here?
Yeah, I don't really have an answer for you other than that's a story that came out of me. I didn't really have control of it. That's where the story went. And I felt a little bit like a little kid, I think, at the time, because I was like 50, I'm 54 years old. I'm like, what, you know, kind of, you get that man up attitude, like, knock it off. You got too many responsibilities.
Right.
Be sitting around moping over a puppy who was only here 6 months. And I said, boy, this must be how a child feels when they lose, and it, not, you know, a cat, a dog, a hamster, even a goldfish, you know, because kids can't intellectually wrap their brain around it. They don't understand why the cat had to go. So I kind of felt a little bit like a little kid. So that's kind of who I wrote the book for.
When it's been out now for a little bit, what has the reaction been from kids?
It's been remarkable. And what surprised me is I knew it would help kids. I didn't realize how much it would help adults, because in the story, and you read, it's a children's book, so it's not a long read. I drew from things in my own life and trying to understand why one pet might have to go and how other pets do come into your lives unexpectedly. And I knew a little girl named Piper who was in a wheelchair, and she was supposed to be the telethon. She was the poster child for the telethon 2 years ago, the Center for Disability Services, and she died the night before the telethon, unexpectedly. And you know, I guess in my own brain, I rationalized, well, if God needed a puppy, He would need this puppy. You know, this is a great dog. He'd need this great dog for some purpose. And I pictured in my mind a child like Piper, who's now in heaven, who's not in a wheelchair anymore, who for the first time in her life could have a dog or have a cat. Who's healthy for the first time. And, You know, and that was where that jump went. But the parents reading it have gotten a lot out of it because it's brought them back to their childhood and losses they've had. And it's even helped people who've lost children in some ways, which I didn't expect.
Yeah. We're not good about talking about loss, are we?
We aren't. We aren't. You know, everybody shows up to the wake and says they're not suffering anymore. They're better off where they are. And we all mean well when we say those things, but it doesn't really help. My goal with this book was three things to a child. My message was, and it's not overtly religious, even though God's name is the first thing in the title. My message was three-pronged. One was your dog or cat was special. That must have been why they were called away. Number two, you're going to see them again someday because I believe in heaven, and I believe if there is a heaven, our pets will be there. And number three, keep your eyes open because you don't always understand things at the moment, but sometimes one door closes, one opens, and another pet may come into your life unexpectedly. And that happened exactly that way with us after losing Samuel, the puppy.
Do you think there's a right time to get the next dog or to think about that?
You know, I would have argued before, wait till you're done mourning the first dog.
Yeah.
What happened with me, which was crazy, was I put the post, because Samuel was on my Facebook page. I have a lot of followers. And when he died, the night he died, I called out sick from work, and my wife said, you have to tell people. So I put it on Facebook, you know, as eloquently as I could that he was just gone, and there were like 3,000 or 6,000 comments or something, and somebody, I couldn't read them all because it made me too sad. Somebody approached me 2 days later and said, did you look at all the comments? I said, no, I can't read them. And he said, there's a breeder on there who wants to give you a dog. And I contacted her on that Friday and said, listen, I really appreciate you want to give me another German Shepherd. We're not close to being done mourning.
Right.
So thank you, but no. And she said, no, I don't mean now. She said, I do a litter every November. So I was thinking like maybe in a year I'd want to give you a dog. I said, well, I couldn't take it. We'd have to pay for it. I said, contact me in 9 months and then we'll talk about another puppy. And 12 hours later, she messaged me back and said, one of the dogs I just sold is coming back to me. It's already paid for and the kid's allergic and they can't take it anymore. And this dog needs a home. So we ended up, we really struggled with, do we take this dog that just fell in our lap, not even a week after we lost Samuel, or do we just grieve and say no thank you? And we kind of prayed on it and said, you know what, dog needs a home, we'll bring him in. And it's been the best thing we ever did.
You know, two things that you just made me think of, because I've been on the air a long time here, and also, you know, a lot of wonderful people follow you on Facebook, and I put out that when my dog passed away, and the outpouring is incredible. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable. What I found interesting, and I don't say this with any anger or malice whatsoever, but what I thought was fascinating sociologically / psychologically speaking is more people reached out to me when my dog died than when my mom died.
I believe it.
It's fascinating.
It's the connection we all have. I was thinking as you were saying that you could, we're so polarized politically, you could look across the street, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, you could look across to some other political person who you can't stand, say, I hate that guy. What's the matter with him? He looks sad. Oh, his dog died. You'd immediately go, oh.
Oh,
and you connect
right.
And say, you know, I'm going to go tell him I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. We all have pets, and I don't care. What struck me is no matter how old you get, this is the message back to me, you could be 70 years old, and you're still, there's that cat or dog when you were 7 years old that you lost, that it's still there. A little bit. It's way underneath, but, you know, if they talk about it, they still feel a little bit like that day, and they said, boy, I love that dog. You know, it's something, you know, and you're right. People are different about pets than they are about people for whatever reason.
John Cass is on the show and writes a lot about dogs and animals and says you have that lifetime pet, you know, that one yeah. That sort of changes you fundamentally. The other thing you mentioned that I thought was interesting too is that, you know, when I know in our case, we went through the grieving, but then being without a dog is just so horrible that we waited, you know, I think we waited like 2 weeks. And
yeah.
we had a similar experience with our breeder who then, you know, said, oh, you know, come see. And there was a dog that was available. And but I'm sure this is different for everybody. I'm curious as to what it was like for you. But it does seem to help in the grieving process, doesn't it?
It does, I think, because the new pet kind of looks at you like, you know, I don't know who this Fido or Sam or Susie was you're talking about, but I got to go out. You know, by the way, I know you're grieving, but I tore up the toilet paper in the other room and it's in a million
yeah.
pieces. They distract you enough. And And I think what really hit me, and I remember this from when I was a kid, and we lost a dog, and my dad took it hard. And my mom finally said after about a month, she goes, you know, what is wrong with you? And he's like, nothing. She says, do you want a dog? And he said, well, maybe. It was the quiet of the house, you know.
Right.
It was those routines, you know. You know, our dogs, more so than even spouses sometimes or kids, you know, you get up to, you know, they're right by your side. You come home, they're right at the door. You know, they're just, they do connect with us. And when they're gone, it just, there's a big void there.
Because you think of it when, you're absolutely right. Because you, I know when our dog passed, it was, well, brushing my teeth. The dog would be to the right side of me on my foot as I'm brushing my teeth, and I'm walking out, and that's where the dog would lay, and there's that mark on the wall.
Sure.
And all of that stuff is just heartbreaking. And then, if you bring another dog in, all that doesn't go away, but it makes it a little bit easier to manage.
Yeah. I mean, how many of your listeners will relate to this where they lose a pet, or even if the pet's away for the day to get groomed or something, and they're eating their lunch, and they instinctively take a piece of the sandwich and they let their hand drift down.
Oh, right.
And they go, oh, wait, he's not here.
Sure, absolutely.
Which is, it's better for our diets because we give a third of the sandwich to the dog.
So your dog now is how old?
I've got four now, which is crazy.
Well, how'd that happen?
Well, we had an old dog, and I got Samuel, and then Samuel died, and then the breeder said, I want you to have this puppy, and we weren't ready for it, but we took him anyway. And he drove the old dog crazy because he was high energy. And then the one who sold to Samuel, that breeder, different breeder, kept bugging my wife saying, I feel awful that I've never had a dog die. I'm having a litter in June. So we went to look at his litter, and that was a stupid idea because we ended up taking a puppy. And I was like, I told my wife, I go, we're done. We have now two puppies, and we have an older dog who has trouble walking. We're done. And then I went to volunteer at the Humane Society for a day. And I was way in the back of the building, and I saw a crate, and I said, what's with that crate? I'm being a reporter. I ask questions. I should keep my mouth shut. And they said, oh, that's a hard luck case. It's a blind, deaf dog that was found wandering in Bethlehem that was somebody abandoned. He's a puppy. And he came out, and he came right over to me, and I liked him. And I kept asking. I said, make sure that dog gets a good home, would you please? Because I felt the connection. And about a month or 6 weeks went by, and she said, we had two people we thought were going to take him. They didn't take him. You know, do you want to meet him again? And I said, no. Okay, maybe for 5 minutes. And his name's Keller. I named him Keller after Helen Keller because he's deaf and blind. But he's the easiest dog I've ever had in my life, the one who can't see. He's mapped out the house. He doesn't go to the bathroom in the house. He's sweet, you know.
So that's about four. And is
so we're done. We're done. I won't even go near a pet store or breeder. Or if I see you walking a dog in the park, I run the other way.
I thought maybe Caparizo was being a pain in the ass and bringing these dogs into you.
Yeah, he and I have grown much closer since he's got so many dogs now, yeah.
Well, the name of the book is God Needed a Puppy, and you're going to be doing some events. You're going to be at the Barnes & Noble and Colony Center on Saturday, November 18th.
Correct.
Talking and signing the book, and I know you've been out doing this before, and of course people...
Yeah, I can give you a couple quick signing tomorrow at Healthy Pet Center in Latham. That's one Route 9. The next Saturday, I'm at the Hallmark on Route 9 at 11 in the morning or noon or so. I'm putting all this on Facebook. And then the big one is Barnes & Noble. It was tough to get in there, and they saw the success of the book and said, let's get you in here. And I'm hoping we get a big crowd for that one.
That's great. Well, you can find out more going to John's Facebook page. You can also check out the event that we have at Colony Center in Colony, 4 o'clock, November 18th, Barnes & Noble. The name of the book is God Needed a Puppy. It's a beautiful book. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Nice job.
And I should mention, too, the dollar a book I would make about, I donate to charity. I give it to a shelter. So
terrific.
We're up to 17 shelters I've helped, and they've gotten about... I had an anonymous donor help me out, so we're probably up to about $13,000.
That's great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
The name of the book, God Needed a Puppy. John Gray, always good to talk to you. Thank you very
good
much.
Good to see you, too.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.